Hello, I'm Adam, and welcome to Tales from the Potting Bench, a gardening podcast where you'll hear tales and stories from the most interesting and different people from the world of both indoor and outdoor gardening. This episode is sponsored by PlantGrow, producers of award-winning organic fertilisers made with zero chemicals. Great for your garden, and even greater for the planet. And don't forget, if you use the code POTTINGBENCH on plantgrow.co.uk, you'll get 10% off your order. Now, before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to ask, if you listen to this podcast and enjoy it, then please consider rating and leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice. It's easy to do, doesn't take long, but it helps this podcast get into the ears of more like-minded planty people. This episode features a conversation with Instagram star, radio presenter and QVC gardening expert Emma Jo Real Davies. You'll no doubt know Emma from her hilarious Instagram page and all sorts of other things, and you'll be glad to know this conversation is just as mad as you'd expect it to be. Enjoy. So, for anyone who is not familiar with you right now, who are you and what do you do?
My name is Emma Jo Real Davies. I only say the Jo because it's in my Instagram name. It's a bit of a long story, but it's my middle name. And I am, what am I? I am, so I'm training to be a gardener, like officially training. I'm on this thing called the RAGS scheme, which is like a scheme where you work in a private historical garden. It doesn't have to be private, actually, just a large historical garden under the sort of traineeship of a head gardener. So you learn all the sort of practical skills in gardening. I'm also a presenter. That's my background, really. So I'm a presenter on QVC. I'm officially now a gardening expert on QVC, makes me lol when I say it. And I also do some gardening expert stuff for BBC Radio Sussex in Surrey as well. And I do a lot on Instagram and TikTok and stuff. So I have an Instagram TikTok account where I post funny little videos about gardening. And I guess my sort of vibe is to, you know, see the lighthearted side of gardening, like when things go wrong, or see the reality behind Instagram. And that's me.
I didn't know you're on TikTok. I need to go find you on TikTok.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting back into it. I feel like I had a bit of a period where it went dormant for a bit, but I'm back on it now, trying to post more regularly.
So your background is fully like presenting and radio. You were on Capital for a while as well, weren't you?
Yeah. So, I've been a radio presenter really my whole life. So I was on Capital Breakfast down on the South Coast for 3 years, which I absolutely loved. It was just the best fun ever. And I had to get up at 4 o'clock every day, so I didn't enjoy that. but it was amazing. We just had such a laugh and it was so good. And at the time I moved to Southampton for work. I literally knew nobody. I had no friends there, didn't know anyone there. Obviously I was doing really strange hours, so it was quite a weird lifestyle. So although it seemed super glamorous and fun, it was really strange because I'd finish work at 11 o'clock in the morning and I'd have nothing to do all day and I'd be exhausted. And so it was actually quite a weird, lonely life. And so basically I started and I lived in a city centre flat as well. So I didn't have any, I had a little balcony, but I didn't have a garden or anything. So I started volunteering with community allotments. And I mean, I'd love gardening for years beforehand, and my grandparents had a really big garden, so I feel like I didn't grow up with them, but obviously we visited quite a lot, and I feel like I sort of grew up in this garden, which was amazing. And so that's what led me to kind of volunteer with this community allotment, and it just really made me fall in love with gardening again. And you know, it was a community project for people that had problems with substance abuse and mental health problems and homelessness. And it was that weird thing where I was coming in as a volunteer, quite lonely and kind of a bit low and sort of in a bit of a weird place myself, helping these other people, but all equally it was helping me just as much. And it was this sort of amazing experience, really, where it just showed that the power of gardening was just so invaluable for people from all different walks of life, and you know, myself included. And it was just a really amazing experience. I completely went off on one there. Wasn't even the question. So that's kind of how I came into gardening, through when I was doing the presenting stuff. And I suppose that's how it happened.
That's so funny. You mentioned your grandparents and stuff in there as well. Your granddad features on your Instagram every now and again, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's lovely. He's 94. I can't believe it when I say he's 94. I mean, I'm 30. and I'm going to be 31 soon, and I every day I can't believe that I've made it to this age and I still have him in my life. I just feel so lucky, because, like, you know, we're so close, and to have had this much time with him is just incredible. But we get on really well, and he loves gardening, and, you know, he's always out there sort of like poking about and coming up with these weird ideas that he makes me do in the garden. I'm always like, oh God, it goes against all my morals, like values and stuff, but, you know, it makes him happy, so I do it for him and help him out.
Yeah. So you get a lot of that from him then?
Yeah, from him, but really from my grandma, I would say. Mm. She was the kind of keen gardener. I mean, he's kind of found it like later in life, because, you know, he was always sort of working so much. Both of them were artists. So my grandpa was a potter, and it's quite a nice little story, really. And he managed a pottery sort of in Surrey where they lived. And my grandma was an art teacher. She was an artist, and she used to paint the pottery that he made. So she had this really, it was really lovely. And so she had this really lovely range that she did of cockerels that she painted. And it's so famous now. Like, it was so popular when she painted it. And even now, they've actually turned it into she's sadly died now, but they turned it into a transfer. So it's still really, really popular now, which is really lovely, because it's like her sort of legacy lives on. So yeah, so when I was a child, every sort of half term and summer holiday, we'd just spend at their house and, you know, doing like arts and crafts and running around the garden and sort of making potions out of leaves and all sorts of stuff with my little sister. So yeah, I was really lucky. I had lovely, lovely childhoods of growing up there and doing lovely things in the garden.
It's funny though, isn't it? I always think this when we kind of come back to gardening, when it's been such a thing in your childhood, and then you go off and start a career and you do other bits and bobs, I think you always come back to it somehow. I don't know if that's just us getting old, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so true. I think when you have these happy memories of things, and maybe, I mean, obviously as a young child, you appreciate it as such. And then when you sort of look back and you think, I suppose it's like weird, it's kind of quite deep really, but you think of a time when you were like really happy, and, you know, my memories would always bring me back to those times. And so it was almost like, yeah, you're trying to re-find that happiness now as an adult. And yeah, for me, that was being in the garden, I suppose. Yeah.
Did you ever think that your kind of career was going to go the way it went? So obviously, I'm guessing you wanted to get into radio originally.
Yeah. So I loved... I did a sort of degree. So I did English literature at university, and I always wanted to go into acting. That was my thing. I like love the theatre, which I like never talk about, because it's that weird thing, isn't it? Where like on social media, you are one thing and you only sort of talk about that one thing. But actually there's other, you know, aspects of your personality that people don't necessarily know about or see. But yeah, I love the theatre. And I always really wanted to act. And then basically, cut a long story short, in the end, I decided to go into kind of like the radio and presenting route instead. And so yeah, I think I love talking to people. I love meeting people. I love hearing people's stories. I just love chatting to people so much. And I think that's why I love presenting, just because I know it's sort of weird, because obviously when you're a presenter, you are talking at people sort of thing. But what, you know, my favorite moments of presenting would be like on the radio when we had like a caller on, or when we did a competition and you're actually getting to talk to the people you're talking to. And you know, it's the same with like doing TV presenting as well, like chatting about something you're really passionate about, and, you know, trying to kind of like convey that passion to other people is just what I love about it, I suppose. So yeah, so I always wanted to do presenting. And then you know, when the kind of my love of gardening was, you know, reignited, I suppose, I was like, oh my God, wouldn't it be amazing if I could combine the two? But, you know, it's like hugely competitive industry. Like I've been toiling away at it for so many years. I think people don't really realize the true struggles of like how hard it is to get into presenting. And you know, what's also weird about it is that there's no linear journey. Like for some people, you can work for 20 years and get nowhere. For other people, you know, they'll have a connection and then suddenly boom, they've sort of made it almost overnight, as it seems. So it's kind of a very strange world. And again, like because of that, it's been really hard. And again, this is something I don't really talk about. And this isn't even what the podcast is about, Adam. So I'm so sorry to bore you.
The podcast is about you. It doesn't matter what you say. It's all about
like
you.
No one cares. It's just
of course
they
do.
So boring. But it's a really, really, really hard world. And you know, there's some lovely like lovely, lovely people in it. But it can really, you know, well, for me personally anyway, it does affect your mental health, because you are sort of constantly being rejected all the time, and you're having to kind of pick yourself up every day and kind of like crack on with it. Mm. And I think, again, that was why gardening for me was just such a, the garden, sort of the abstract garden, if you know what I mean, was just such a constant and such a sanctuary for me to kind of go out and, you know, have a little moment to remember that actually trying to get into presenting isn't like the be all and end all of the world. Yeah. And, you know, there are other things in life to enjoy. And I think that's why it's been so, yeah, so wonderful for me. And yeah, and so now to have combined both my sort of two true passions, which are, you know, presenting and gardening, is just, yeah, an absolute dream come true. I feel so incredibly lucky and privileged to do it. So yeah.
The next thing you need to do is create some sort of garden-based musical to then star in.
Oh my word. Well, yeah, you say that, but I can't.
How can you not? Forget the musical then.
I've tried many a time.
You could narrate it.
I can play the violin, so, you know, maybe it can be a...
Yeah, there's something in here where you need to combine like everything. Gardening, violin.
I'm the worst. I'm literally a jack of all trades, the biggest jack of all trades you'll have ever met. I've tried everything in my life, but I'm not good at anything. So. Not even gardening.
Come on.
No, I'm really not
good at anything.
Oh, dear.
Nonsense. It's funny that you say about it being like competitive and whatever, because I think you don't necessarily, and like we've said a couple of times, like this isn't something that we talk about or whatever, about different parts of our personality and different parts of our lives or whatever. And you're so right. I'd never even thought about, and you're so right about what you put out on social media, is that you get into a groove, like whether it's gardening or whether it's whatever, and like that's the thing that you share. And I suppose you don't necessarily, and just before this, but we were talking about someone and the job that they do outside of their Instagram, and it's just like, wow, I didn't even know they were doing that. It's strange, isn't it, what you put out there? I mean, this has got nothing to do with gardening, but it's strange what you put out there and what you're, I suppose, showing people that you are, yet you've got so many other strings to your bow. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's weird because I always see that little meme that goes around Instagram quite often, which is kind of like a little blob in a box, and it says like, oh, this is what we show people on Instagram. Mm. And then there's another picture which is like lots of blobs in a box, and it's like, this is all the stuff we don't show people. But then when you're actually on the app, you forget that. Yeah. I find so easily I forget that, and I'll look at other people's stuff and I'll be like, oh my god, you know, they're so motivated and they're so productive and how are they doing all of this, and you know, but you forget all this other stuff that's, you know, possibly going on in their lives. And yeah, it's a good reminder, isn't it, that yeah, we're only showing a little part of ourselves.
This is very true. Something else that you did, which I didn't know until quite recently, and you reminded me of when you were just saying about that you like talking to people and hearing from people, is I was just naturally thinking then that you need a podcast. But then I thought, you've already had a podcast, haven't you?
Oh yeah, I used to do a podcast.
Why did you start that? I've listened to every episode of that. Every single episode. Yeah.
Oh, poor you.
No, it's great. Honestly, last year I just became aware of it somehow, and I don't know how. And I listened to them all, but
That's really kind. Thank you so much. Yeah. So I guess it's just going back to that thing where I did this podcast. It was called The Female Struggle Is Real. And it was when I was on the radio, and, you know, the radio station I was on was very lighthearted and super fun and a lot of, you know, pop culture stuff. But there were certain things we weren't allowed to talk about, understandably. It wasn't a current affairs, you know, radio station. And I was like, oh, I really love this stuff as well. I want to talk about these sorts of things. And as a woman in a quite a male-dominated industry, I sort of thought, oh, setting up a podcast about, you know, female struggles in inverted commas would be a good idea. So anyway, so I started this podcast. It was a lot of work. And like towards, you know, the end of it, I mean, it never kind of officially, I didn't sort of wake up one day and think, oh, I'm not going to bother with that anymore. Mm. But it kind of, you know, my energy was much more focused in going into the gardening stuff. And I really wanted to try and grow the podcast, but it was really hard. I was doing it all on my own. And and I just sort of thought, actually, I'm getting much more out of the gardening stuff, so I'm going to kind of park this.
Yeah. You need a gardening podcast. That's what you need.
Well,
it also takes,
you know,
in violins.
And how can I compete with such other wonderful gardening podcasts that are out there at the moment? I couldn't bring myself to do it. I wouldn't want to step on your lovely little toes.
There's only so many guests There's only so many guests before we all start repeating each other. Anyway.
Yeah, but you do such a good job of it, you know. So,
and
you
oh,
know,
come people, on, man.
I love your podcast. It's absolutely incredible.
Thank you.
And it's so, you know, you do such a good job of it, and it's so professional. And you like all the stories that are on there are so interesting. And
but you can see behind me that I'm just in my living room. Like that's the thing. Like you said about you doing it yourself. I think that's again kind of going like back to like getting into presenting and stuff as well. It's like it might seem, I'm not saying my podcast seems glamorous by any means, but it might seem glamorous, and it, you know, that's not to knock how amazing these things are, but it's really tough to get into and then also stay in terms of like staying relevant. But do you know what I mean?
Because
it can kind of go almost at any moment, can't
it? Definitely. Yeah,
God, that's a sobering thought. Sorry.
It could just disappear just like that. No, you're so right.
I don't mean
you're
you
so
particularly.
Right. No. But it is so true. But that is, you know, that is what it's like. You constantly, you know, like in this weird world, you might have a job, but at any second you could be dropped. And to be honest, that's why I left the radio stuff a little bit, because, you know, it wasn't a particularly sustainable career. You know, suddenly made redundant, I've got a mortgage, or, you know, if I had children or whatever, I don't want to be in that position. So that's why I thought, right, I need another string to my bow here.
Add another one.
Not my violin bow.
Your career bow.
My career bow.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So what is it that you, what are you kind of, what's your like long-term goal? That's such an adult question. But like, I mean, in terms of, because you're doing QVC and presenting and stuff, but you were also going down the kind of the route of proper kind of garden training, I suppose. What are you wanting to keep those kind of combined, or are you wanting to go one way or the other, or what are you hoping?
Honestly, in an ideal world, like, I would absolutely love to keep doing the gardening presenting, because I love it so much. I mean, like I said, I love gardening, so then to talk about gardening to like a big audience is just amazing. But I just love gardening. I really do. Like, I just love being out there. I've in all the weathers, this garden trainee scheme has been a bit of a learning curve for me. I've been gardening in the snow, gardening in torrential rain, literally. Obviously, I started in the drought last year. So it was like constant watering at like 6 a.m. And, you know, it was like tough. But I just love doing it so much. And so I sort of always thought, well, you know, if the presenting doesn't work out, which is like a genuine, you know, consideration you have to think about, like we were saying, you just never know what's going to happen. At least I know that I love the gardening, and there'll always be a job in it, you know, wherever I end up. So who knows? I love people so much that are like, I've got this goal and I'm gonna do it, and this is gonna be me in 10 years time. I absolutely love that. I'm here for it so much. But I think over the years I've learned, like, you just never know what's gonna happen. And it's you know, as much as I'd love to say I'd love to be the next Monty Don, just don't think, you know, I don't want to put that out there in the world, because for a start, I mean, there's, you know, obviously that's not going to happen. I'm not clever enough to be the next Monty Don. But, you know, I don't know. I just think I'm just so lucky at the moment to do what I do and to love what I do, because I think that's the other thing. I know so many people that don't love what they do, and I genuinely do. And so if I could just keep doing what I'm doing and maybe grow it a little bit, that would be great.
Keep going with it. Yeah. I think you're right about like these people that kind of have like an end goal and they're really like motivated towards it. Like, there's totally nothing wrong with that. But I think sometimes if you're so focused on one thing that you don't necessarily see the other things that come up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, so I am like incredibly motivated. I've always said, like, I don't know, to the point where it's almost like detrimental. Like, I kind of wish I wasn't, in a way, because it kind of, sometimes I'm like, I wish I didn't care as much. But I find it like, I'm not confident enough to be like, this is what I'm going to do and this is who I'm going to be. I find it like, I don't know, it's like embarrassing, isn't it?
It's
for
exhausting.
Me, like, not for other people, but for, it's exhausting as well. Like, because then you feel like you've got to live up to that. And if you don't, everyone's looking at you like, oh, remember she said she wanted to do this and she didn't make it. Like, what a loser. Like, oh God, please don't think I'm a loser. So yeah.
Oh, so funny. I think we've glossed over your Instagram, but I think we have to talk about your Instagram a bit, because I think what you do is, I'm already chuckling to myself, that's bad, isn't it? What you do on Instagram is so kind of like, is different and is honest. And I think that's what really like attracts me to your Instagram in particular, because you're proper like warts and all gardening. Like, you show all the bits where all of the bad stuff. You put the thing up the other day, which I'd completely forgotten about, your zippy greenhouse just blowing down the garden.
Oh God. Oh my God. Well, the thing is, I mean, Adam, likewise, because I loved the video you put recently of the cat poo on the beds. I was like, that is literally the story of my life. I don't, if you've not seen it, it's like a little video, like a reel of Adam sharing all the, well, the poo.
Cat pops.
Basically, yeah. On all the beds. And it just made me laugh so much because I was like, that is literally my life. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I do try and show the real side of you know, life, which I mean isn't a new thing, but I think it's just, I don't know, and like as a person in real life, I am like very honest, like to the point of, yeah. Like I was saying to you before the podcast, was like, Adam was like, is there anything you don't want to talk about? And I was like, no, I literally will talk about anything. Like I'm so honest to the point where I'm almost too honest. I think people get a bit like weirded out by it sometimes. But I just can't, I think over the, I've had my Instagram, like unlike everyone else who started a Instagram like either during lockdown or just before lockdown, I've had my Instagram since I was literally like 15, like when it first came out, and it's the same Instagram. So if you scroll back far enough, you'll see all of my posts from like when I was at uni, like going out to Oceania, drinking like vodka Oceana. Blue or whatever we used to drink. So like, yeah, it's quite different in that sense. I haven't deleted them just because I think it's quite funny. Anyway, where was I going with this? What was the point? What I was saying? Oh, about, yeah. So anyway, honest, so I feel like over the years, I've really tried, like, it sounds so sad, but I've tried to kind of like really find myself in Instagram. Do you know what I mean? Like, who am I? Like, who am I trying to, like, which part of me am I trying to portray? And, you know, I went through a phase of being all like fashion-y. Then I went through a phase of being all like edgy. Here's my latte on a very nice marble table in a coffee shop. You know, I've been through that vibe. And eventually I was just like, you know what? I'm so done with this. I'm just going to be myself because, like, why am I trying to be all these other people? Like, you know, just to try and, you know, get a free like top from New Look or something. Or I mean, I wasn't trying to do that, but you know what I mean? Like occasionally I've had a free top from New Look. And so in the end, I was like, I'm just going to be myself. And, you know, with a gardening focus, but I mean, on stories and stuff, I will share like other random stuff if I feel it's funny or relevant or whatever. Yeah. And so, yeah, so that's what I do on it, which, and again, and like, I think I've never, although, you know, I'd love to grow my account, I'd love to, you know, get a bigger audience and stuff, that's never really been my focus. Like, I've tried not to get too bogged down in that because I think, I mean, A, like we've said before, it's absolutely exhausting. And B, I feel like it's not who I am. I don't know. I want to engage with people. I want to talk to people. I don't want to just be like, have like 8 million people watch a video and then have no interaction with them.
100%.
Or no sort of, you know, shared passion for something. Do you know what I mean? No common ground. Like that's not, I don't know, that's not what I'm here for. I want to chat and have a laugh and open up the conversation about gardening and our failures and stuff. And I guess that's what I love about it.
I love your Instagram, and it's because you don't, although you share on stories a lot, you don't post that often. I think I feel like it's a little kind of treat when you do. Do you know what I mean?
Like when your mum gets out the box of milk tray.
Exactly, the equivalent. And your favourite chocolate.
That's very kind. Yeah. Oh, that's really kind. Thank you.
But yeah, I think you're hilarious as well. That's the difference. Oh. Is that you? And you totally get the impression that you. Well, you get the impression. I know that it's what you see on Instagram with you is who you are, and you can just tell that. And I think a lot of the time you don't necessarily know that of someone, but you can tell that you are bum holes and all.
if you don't know what I'm talking about, yeah, I feel like I don't show my bum hole on Instagram. Just
not your bum hole, no.
No, all went well, or anyone else's for that matter. Oh my!
Did you explain bum hole? I feel like we can't just leave that there.
Yes, of course. No, that's fine. So basically, I started growing for the first time a few years ago. Helichrysums, is that what they're called? Oh God, I see, it's my like Latin gardening knowledge. I think they're called helichrysums. Anyway, straw flowers, they're otherwise known as, which are like the really papery little flowers you can get, and they're beautiful for drying, and people have them in little dried arrangements in the autumn, and they're absolutely gorgeous. And I bought them in like a salmon colour, which happens to be my favourite colour. Like I'm a peach and salmon girl through and through. And I was really excited to pick a little bunch for drying, but when they open up to begin with, it is literally the most bizarre thing in the world because they look like a bum hole. They literally do. They're like this little bum hole shape with a bum hole hole. And I just couldn't bring myself. I was like, is this what I've grown? Like, I can't believe this. I feel a bit rude here. I didn't know what to do with it. Anyway, eventually, I think I did pick a bunch for drying. And then I was like, oh my God, I've literally like picked a bunch of dried bum holes, and I wanted to give them to a friend to be like, oh, you're a forever friend, so here are some forever flowers. And I was like, I'm literally giving her a bunch of forever bum holes, like this is ridiculous. So anyway, I think someone messaged me and was like, you need to wait until they've unfurled a bit more. So then I waited for the bumholes to unfurl and then it was absolutely fine. But anyway, what it was that someone commented and said, I'm really sorry to tell you, but I think your flower looks like a bumhole. And I was like, oh my God, it does. And then I just couldn't get it out of my head. So now that's what I call them. And yeah, and they will forever be known as that to me, I'm afraid. And I feel really sorry because I feel like I have ruined them for a lot of people. But anyway, they are
this
hilarious.
Has brought the podcast down.
Yeah, I'm
terribly.
So sorry. I really, oh my God. I'm like, you shouldn't have me on. Are you sure you want to put this episode out? I feel
hashtag
like
bumhole is going on the post.
Oh my
when
God,
this goes
I really
out.
Lowered the tone. I'm so sorry. Although you did bring it up, not me. So.
No, that's very true. That's yeah. Okay. If it was the first thing you'd have said, I'd have thought, oh, I'm not sure this is going to go the way.
Edit this bit out.
Yeah. Oh my God, so funny. Oh, well, God. Thank you so much for all of that.
It's a pleasure. I don't know what you got out of it, but.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Oh yes, thank you so much for telling us all about your career and everything that you've done so far and what might be coming up. But I feel as though we could do with getting to know you a bit more as a gardener, although we've found out quite a lot already. I feel like I've basically got three questions for you that will tell everyone a little bit more about the kind of perhaps the kind of plants that you like.
Okay.
And your kind of style of gardening. Are you ready for this?
I am ready. I'm prepping. Okay. I'm here. Go.
Born ready.
Hit me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, if you were stuck on a desert island with only one other gardener, who would it be and why? They don't need to be famous, but they can be if you want them to be.
One other gardener? Oh my God, can I have a minute to think about this?
You can. You can.
Oh my God, this is such a hard question. I really don't know. So, okay, I think I would. Okay, this is a really obvious, boring, predictable answer. I'm really sorry. But I would pick my grandma because she was the one who taught me about gardening in the first place. She was one who taught me about loving the garden. And that sounds so like basic, but like not just loving the garden and not just loving gardening, but like loving everything, loving the wildlife, loving the sound of the birds, loving the sky, loving like, I know it sounds silly, but like the grass beneath our feet, all of it. And I think she was so ahead of her time because if you think that I was born in like the 90s, she was like, I don't know, 60 or something. And she was such a wildlife gardener. She was not like your typical grandma planting up pots of bedding plants and begonias. She was like, wanted everything to be wild. She wanted everything to be natural. She honestly planted the most amazing wildflower meadow, like before wildflower meadows became like a thing. And we realized like, I mean, I know they've been a thing for years, like obviously don't get me wrong, but like, you know, before they became such a buzzword and, you know, we were really consciously considering what we were doing for wildlife in our gardens. She was out there mowing her meadow, you know, to get the nutrients out there so that the clipping and removing the clippings so the nutrients wouldn't go back into the soil and everything. And I just loved her style of gardening so much. Like obviously, you know, she died like when I was like 18 or something, but I, even in that time, even at that point, I didn't realize how much I loved gardening, how it was going to become such a huge part of my life. I learned so much from her. And I think back and I just, yeah, just completely, I don't know, appreciate everything she did. And yeah, I don't know. So I think if I were to be stuck on a desert island with another gardener, it would definitely be her because I think she wouldn't touch anything. She would leave it unspoiled, but we could find the joy in the nature on the desert island and kind of make it our own in a way that didn't spoil it, I guess.
I love it. What an answer. And the second question, if you could never garden again, what would you spend your time doing instead?
Oh, I love this question. Okay. I mean, everything, literally everything. I don't know how many times, everything. I am one of these people who I wish I had more hours in a week. Like that, honestly, if I could make one wish, well, apart from like world peace, I would literally wish for to have more hours in my life because there are so many incredible things. I'm never bored. I don't think I've ever been bored because I just love everything. I want to start knitting. I love doing watercolor. I'm completely crap at it, like absolutely useless. I post them sometimes and I'm like, people must think I'm like 4 years old because they're so crap, but I just love doing it. And I love cycling. I love walking, absolutely love walking, love being out. I love traveling. I just love it all, Adam. I don't know.
God.
I'll have to accept everything
as an answer.
Let me think of a proper answer. What would I do? Okay, I think if I really couldn't ever garden again, I think I would choose walking because, you know, is that allowed or is that a bit cheating?
Yeah, of course.
Are you sure? Okay.
Cool.
Because I mean, I suppose I get the same out of it in a, not quite the same, but there are similarities, you know, being out in the world, slowing down, appreciating your external environment, seeing everything around you in a slower pace of life and appreciating like the natural world and stuff. And I just think, you know, it's limitless. Like there are so many amazing places you can go and walk and things to see. And yeah, I just love it. So that's
nice.
What I choose.
Walking it is. And the final question.
I'm such an old woman, aren't I? Oh my God. I used to be like fun and cool and go clubbing. And now I'm like here, like walking. Oh. What a weirdo.
Oh my God. Yeah, but you put that thing up the other day about clubbing and like now gardening.
I do still, you know, I resonate like the odd night out, so but yeah. It's just more of a once a year affair than a every weekend
yeah.
affair. But
I think it's just, you get to the point of, I think it is maybe 30 onwards. I've always just felt like, well, if I go out, that's fine, but then I've lost the next day.
Yes, exactly.
And you're if like, it's a Sunday, that's a gardening day. So
exactly. You know? So it's like you'd rather be fresh headed or like a night out, you know, drinking cranberry juice. That's the other thing, you know, having a little tonic water.
Yeah,
that's my vibe. I'm very old. Yeah.
Yep.
Old and
that's
boring.
It.
That's us.
And all downhill from
me. Yeah. Oh, God. Joints and all.
I know, right? It's stand up and everything's just clicking. Anyway, the last question.
Yeah.
If you had to flee your garden right now, which one thing or plant would you take with you?
Oh my, I love this. Okay. Oh God, it's actually making me quite emotional. I don't know why it's making me quite emotional, but I don't know. It's just like, which one would I save? It's like that question of like, if your house was burned down, what item would you grab?
Yeah.
But I've never had it. I've never thought about it in a garden.
Which one is
context.
Your favourite kid?
Yeah. I don't have children, but I have got a toy that I've had since I was a baby. So definitely, oh my God, although the cats, I'd have
is
to take
Pablo
the cats.
Or boyfriend?
Yeah, I was going to say Pablo, who's the cat's boyfriend, or my toy ducky that I've had since I was born. Anyway, that wasn't the question, so we don't have to think about that, thank God. Although Pablo, no, I'm joking. I'm joking. Right, which plant would I save? Do you know what? I think it would have to be my floppy poppy. I think I would have to, yeah. So I've got this floppy poppy. It's a poppy, but I don't know why I called it the floppy poppy, but anyway, I do. And I bought it in lockdown. And like, it's so sad, but obviously just watching it grow, it's just been like such a joy. And I think in lockdown, it just brought so much pleasure, even though it's an oriental poppy and it literally, when it blooms, it lasts for like, I mean, if you have it for 2 days, you're lucky. Do you know what I mean? Like the petals literally last for about 1 day and then they drop off. But that like fleeting moment of beauty is just everything. Like, and I think during the pandemic it just brought me so much happiness, and just to see, you know, at that time it had like one big flower and that was just such a joy, this one flower. And then over the years it's, you know, had two and then it's had three and now it's kind of really starting to get into a big clump, so I'm so excited to see it flower this year. And I just feel like it just teaches us so much about life. I'm starting to sound mad, aren't I? But like it's just to have these little moments to appreciate things and then it's gone and you're like, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know. It just, I think it's just the association of a really, really hard time, but finding the little moments in those hard times that really kept us going. And yeah, it was definitely one of those things. But also, you know, just a reminder that like life isn't forever. And, you know, we need to make the most of our time that we have. And it's precious and it's fragile and just like those lovely poppy flowers. So that's all I would say.
You can find Emma on Instagram at mjoerealdavies, and you can see her on QVC presenting her own show, Emma's Cottage Garden, on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Come back again next week where I'll be joined by another fantastic guest from the garden. Until then, you can follow me on Instagram at viewfromthepottingbench to see what I'm up to in my garden, or visit viewfromthepottingbench.com to read my blog and much more.